Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, September 30th, and I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. The federal government will shut down at the end of today if lawmakers don't reach an agreement on how to fund its future. KHOL's Dante Filpula-Ankne reports a shutdown could mean more fired federal workers throughout Wyoming, including within the Bridger-Teton National Forest and Grand Teton National Park.
National outlets are reporting an internal White House memo has directed federal agencies to consider firing employees, dubbed a reduction in force, in addition to furloughs, if the government shuts down October 1st. Former Bridger-Teton National Forest Supervisor Tricia O'Connor was leading the forest during the last shutdown that lasted about a month in 2018. But she says this potential government shutdown is unprecedented.
I do think it's even more taxing on employees.
Typically, during a shutdown, employees are furloughed, meaning they're either told not to work for a period of time or, once it ends, Congress agrees to back pay them for the time they did work.
Even in the past ones, you know, there was no guarantee employees were going to get paid. Everyone thought that was going to happen, but there was still a lot of fear and uncertainty out there.
O'Connor says firing federal workers would be devastating to the Forest Service. At least one Bridger-Teton employee says forest employees are very stressed given the possibility of a shutdown. Dante Filpula-Ankne, KHOL News.
A working group under the legislature's Corporations Committee tasked with updating the state's public records request law heard public comment this week. Wyoming Public Radio's Jordan Uplinger reports.
According to Darlena Potter, an appointee from the governor's office and chairwoman of the working group, there's been an increase in the number of public record requests from both citizens and data collection groups looking to mass request data. Bob Barnard is the editor-in-chief of the newsletter Journal, which covers Weston County. He wanted to remind county clerks they do have tools for data miners.
You can tell them our office is open from 9 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and you are free to come inspect these records. There is no current requirement in law that records be sent, printed, copies made, or anything else. There is a right of inspection in the law.
No legislation was adopted or changed. However, lawmakers might bring draft legislation at the next meeting on October 20th. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jordan Uplinger.
A county clerk under investigation by lawmakers did not appear before them yesterday, despite receiving a subpoena to do so, citing a scheduling conflict. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements has the latest on lawmakers' deep dive into election errors in Weston County.
Electeds subpoenaed Clerk Becky Hadlock to testify on ballot misprints in three races in 2024, which led to hand recounts. House Speaker Chip Nyman was a candidate running unopposed and won.
Obviously, the people of the state of Wyoming want change in their elections, I believe.
Nyman called for bills banning voting equipment and allowing for more hand count audits in the next session. The Secretary of State previously called for Hadlock's removal, but the governor declined to refer the case to the AG's office. Anne Slagle, an election judge in Weston County, testified that her community's views on what should be done with Hadlock aren't uniform.
They're like, she's being picked on. And so there's this divide in the community.
County clerks say hand counts can have more errors than those done by voting equipment. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements.
Many Wyoming politicians are praising the latest federal oil and gas lease sales in the state, but others are saying money is being left on the table. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports.
A couple weeks ago, about 40,000 new acres were leased for oil and gas exploration, which Wyoming's political leaders say is great for industry and in turn great for economies in nearby towns. But some aren't so sure. Autumn Hanna is with the Taxpayers for Common Sense.
We are in, you know, an era of record high production, and we should be strategic with our resources and ensure that we are getting a fair return.
Hanna is worried about royalty rates, which are the fees companies pay to the federal government when they pull oil and gas from public lands. And half of that is kicked back to the state for things like roads, schools, parks. But the recently passed GOP spending bill dropped the fee by about 4%. Hannah's group ran the numbers, and they estimate that over the lifespan of the recently sold leases, Wyoming will lose out on $11 million in royalty rates. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
Protect Our Water Jackson Hole wants an investigation into drinking water in a business district south of town. The advocacy group says it's unsafe due to human-caused elevated nitrate levels. It filed a formal request last week with the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality to investigate and remediate the water quality, and that includes the restaurant The Bird. The group references tests that show high nitrate levels have been increasing for more than a decade and at dangerous levels as recent as last year. It suggests potential sources as aging septic systems and heavy industrial activity. The Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality did not respond before airtime. Health experts warn that high nitrate levels can be particularly dangerous for infants and pregnant women. And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A regularly scheduled protest and its counter-protest took a break from the hostilities and broke bread together instead. The Wyoming Tribune-Eagle reports nearly every weekend since President Donald Trump was inaugurated, Joe Ramirez has organized in front of the state capitol. A regular group of counter-protesters led by Donnie Crerar soon emerged. But during an escalating argument at a recent one, Crerar and protester Dylan Williams suddenly realized each other's humanity. The two apologized and acknowledged they have a lot of shared values. Crerar ended up ordering pizza for everyone, and they ate together right in front of the Capitol. The protests will continue, but the groups agree to try to protest better and to try to come together on the issues they do agree on. A Mexican band made its U.S. debut recently in Jackson. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports La China Sonidera brought modern cumbia music to the Center for the Arts. The center worked for 2 years to get visas for the entire group. The band also visited the local elementary school and put on an art exhibit. And according to website Chicks X, Wyoming is the second spookiest state in America. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Who was the famous Albany County rancher who was abducted by aliens in the 1970s? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person to submit the correct answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, when was Fort Sanders constructed south of Laramie? Well, Fort Sanders was a wooden fort constructed in 1866 south of Laramie. The remnants of the stone guardhouse are still there, but little else remains. Congratulations to Joey Chavez, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.